Hi, my name is Tony Thaxton. Like anyone else, I love a great album. But I also love those strange albums that might make you wonder how and why they even exist. But I'm not here to make fun of them. I'm here to celebrate them and tell their story. This is Bizarre Albums. Today's episode, The Real Milli Vanilli, The Moment of Truth, the second album from 1990.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. There we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon,
there we... In 1978, German disco group Boney M. released a cover of Rivers of Babylon. Originally written and recorded by the Jamaican reggae group The Melodians back in 1970. This would be Boney M's only U.S. hit, peaking at number 30, but it spent 5 weeks at number 1 in the U.K., and to this day, it's one of the top 10 all-time best-selling singles in the U.K. Boney M had gotten their start in late 1974 when German producer Frank Farian recorded a song called Baby, Do You Wanna Bump?
Baby, do you wanna bump? Do you wanna bump? Do you wanna bump? Do you wanna bump?
In early 1975, the song was released as a single and credited to Boney M. It was a pseudonym that Farian gave himself, inspired by the Australian TV detective series Boney. Baby, Do You Wanna Bump became a hit in Belgium and the Netherlands. When Boney M started doing television appearances to promote the single, Farian decided to put together a group, one that didn't include him. Their lineup would be consisted of models, singers, and dancers, Marsha Bennett, Bobby Farrell, Liz Mitchell, and Maisie Williams. Bobby Farrell was a dancer and was simply lip-syncing to vocals actually sung by Frank Farian. In a 2002 interview with the BBC, Liz Mitchell said of Frank Farian, quote, "He obviously thought himself not presentable enough to perform the voice. It was understandable because Frank Farian is a white German and the music of Boney M. was West Indian, American, African rhythm." End quote. Boney M. would go on to have several big hits throughout the 70s and early 80s. Liz Mitchell claims that she and Marsha Bennett did appear singing on the recordings, but they never got any credit. Maisie Williams never actually sang on any Boney M. recordings. Farian himself admitted this in a 1978 interview with German teen magazine Bravo. In addition, Bobby Farrell was always lip-syncing to what was actually the voice of Frank Farian. By 1985, Boney M's success was waning, as was Farian's interest in continuing the group. They released their final album, I Dance, and disbanded shortly after. Sometime in 1987, Frank Farian was in a German nightclub. He heard a song that got his attention. Girl, You Know It's True was performed by a Baltimore group called Newmarks. Though the song wasn't a hit in the U.S., it was popular in German nightclubs, but Farian thought he could make the song a bigger hit. He had an idea, and he started to recruit people to help him make this new version of the song a reality. Farian found some American singers who had served on the American Army base in Germany, singers John Davis and Brad Howell, in addition to Charles Shaw, who would perform the rap in the song. He also hired American twin sisters Linda and Jody Rocco, who were living in Germany, to sing the backing vocals. By April of 1988, Farian's new version of Girl, You Know It's True was finished, and he decided once again to hire different people to be the faces of the group. Enter Rob Pilatus and Fabrice Fab Morvan. The two first met each other at a dance seminar in Munich. They clicked immediately and eventually formed their own group, even releasing a single in Germany. Frank Farian heard about the duo and invited them to come to his studio. Rob and Fab thought this was their moment. They were broke and in pursuit of fame. They signed a contract with Farian, with no manager and no lawyer, not knowing that he only wanted them for their looks and their ability to perform. Farian then let them hear the demo for Girl You Know It's True. In this clip from the Vlad TV YouTube channel, Fab Morvan talks about the first time hearing the song.
The first time I heard Girl You Know It's True was instrumental. Stuff was banging, like, whoa. In the big Neve, like, he played, they sat in his chair, be like, check this out, boom. And we were like, whoa. I could see myself, like, I was like, you know, I love music, I taste, I felt music, and I felt like that was a dope track.
Okay, but there's no vocals yet.
There's no vocals yet.
Even though the vocals had already been recorded on the American version.
If I knew how a board would work, I would have seen that was muted. But what happened was, it was all sunshine in that room when we played that track. And then we went to another room, and that's when the dark cloud came in. And that's when he kind of like told us, listen. And I didn't speak German at the time. So he speaks to Rob.
Okay.
And I'm trying to decipher. I knew a little bit, you know. So I'm trying to figure it out. And those guys are like arguing. I see Rob's eyes going like, rrr. And then the dude's like, rrr. And then Frank gets out of the room. You know, like, what's going on? And then he looks at me and tells me, like, he wants us to like lip sync.
After learning that they would only be lip syncing, they wanted out of their contract. But they'd already spent the money that they were paid. So they soon filmed a music video and started lip-syncing performances under the name Milli Vanilli. Girl, you know it's true. Oh, I love you. Yes, you know it's true. They were under the impression that after promoting the single, they would be able to start doing their own singing and have some artistic input. But then the single blew up in Germany and slowly spread across Europe. And with that success, Farian told them they couldn't change singers now. A full Milli Vanilli album titled All or Nothing was released outside of North America on November 14, 1988. Their second single, Baby Don't Forget My Number, would be released in December, and again, they had a massive hit. Even though Rob and Fab were still not singing, they were starting to enjoy their newfound fame. Fab talks about this and more from this Vlad TV clip.
At this point, you've been seducted.
Okay.
You know, you've been seduced by that thing, that life. You know, it's that life. And it feels good to be there, you know. You travel the world. But after every show, you come back to your room. After people leave the room, after the party, there's after party. And at the end, when everybody's gone, it's you. You alone. And that's when reality sets in. And it's ugly.
And by this point, they'd caught the attention of Arista Records founder and president Clive Davis, who licensed the album from BMG. The album would be repackaged under the title Girl You Know It's True. And it was released in America on March 7th, 1989. The album would end up having 5 Billboard Top 5 singles, and 3 of those went to number 1. The album itself spent 7 weeks at number 1. Then, in February of 1990, the Grammy Awards were held.
And the best new artist is Milli Vanilli. We want to say thank you very much, but we want to say there are a lot of artists here in this room. There are a lot of artists outside in the world who can achieve the same award that we achieved today. And it's an award for all artists in the world. Thank you very much.
Despite their massive success, rumors of their lip syncing were starting to spread. During the summer of 1989, Milli Vanilli were performing live for MTV when their backing track skipped. In the moment, Rob didn't know what to do and ran off stage. But somehow, the live audience seemed to either barely notice or just not even care. But then, In an interview with Newsday that December, Charles Shaw, who had performed the rap on Girl You Know It's True, revealed that he was one of the real vocalists for Milli Vanilli, calling Rob and Fab imposters. He retracted his statement after Frank Farian reportedly paid him $150,000. But it didn't stop the rumors from swirling. Then, in November of 1990, Frank Farian would finally reveal that Milli Vanilli did not sing on the album. He also said that he fired Rob and Fab. And the following week, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences took their Grammy away. At this point, the second Milli Vanilli album had already been in the works. So, with Frank Farian still producing, the real singers behind Milli Vanilli would finally be credited on a new album, this time under the name The Real Milli Vanilli. So in early 1991, The Real Milli Vanilli released The Moment of Truth, the second album, on BMG Records.
I want to be Vanilli.
No, you can't be Vanilli.
The album begins with Keep On Running. It was actually first released as a Milli Vanilli single, the last single they released in November of 1990. After the lip-syncing scandal broke, it was re-released and credited to the real voices of Milli Vanilli. This is the one song on the album that also credits some lead vocals to Frank Farian. Keep On Running was also the album's original title when it was to be a Milli Vanilli album. I tell the truth, you're surprised to say, but take it like my brother, bees like that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Up next is Tell Me Where It Hurts, which was written by legendary songwriter Diane Warren. Diane Warren has written 9 number one songs and 32 top 10 songs on the Billboard Hot 100. The album's front cover features a photo of the real Milli Vanilli. Well, sort of. It shows Brad Howell and John Davis, along with a couple of new vocalists, Gina Mohammed and Ray Horton. Though he only sings lead on a few songs, Ray Horton is pictured front and center and has a very similar look to Rob and Fab. Linda and Jody Rocco are not pictured, despite singing vocals on the majority of the album. But a rapper named Icy Bro is also on the front cover, though in the liner notes, he's listed as a special guest. Icy Bro raps on the next song, Crazy Cane, which features a sample of Cab Calloway's Heidi Ho. Next is another Diane Warren song, well, a co-writer this time, When I Die. In 1996, the German-based American Eurodance group No Mercy covered it and took the song to number one in Austria and the Netherlands, and to the top five in Australia, Switzerland, Germany, and Spain. Their version was also produced by Frank Farian. You are my angel sent down from heaven. There's a few session musicians of note on the album. There's Mel Collins on saxophone. He was a member of the prog rock bands King Crimson, Camel, and the Alan Parsons Project. Kurt Kress is on drums. He's not only recorded with Milli Vanilli, but also Boney M. Side one closes with Nice and Easy. It's another Diane Warren co-write. The song was also released as a single and had a music video.
Boy, oh boy, now let's go and take off, taking our time. Before we make love, a fire is burning deep within my soul. I'm holding you tight, I could never let you go. Me in all night long, again and again, make me feel like a lady and please me, then we'll make love.
Icy Bro is back to handle all the vocals for the side two opener, Hard as Hell, another Diane Warren co-write.
I get mental orgasms, the sinuous spasms, some get out of line, I just slap when my rhymes are dope, so go ahead, smoke them, you can get hyped, if you told them, the seas try to battle, but they all fell, I'm hard as hell.
Too Late, parentheses, True Love, was released as a single and peaked at number 26 in Austria, number 36 in Belgium, number 54 in the Netherlands, and number 65 in Germany. The song also had a music video and features a rap by Tammy T. The album's closer is Big Brother. The album actually charted in Germany, peaking at number 20. It never got a US release, but Frank Farian would have another idea. He remixed most of the album's tracks, keeping the voices of Ray Horton, Gina Mohammed, and the Rocco Sisters, but he removed Brad Howell and John Davis. He then added to the group Tracy Ganser and Kevin Witherspoon, who also had a similar look to Milli Vanilli. Farian called this new group Tryin' B, and they released one self-titled album in the U.S. in 1992. But also in 1992, Rob and Fab finally got to record their own voices for their album, Rob and Fab. But that is for another time.
Thank you for listening to Bizarre Albums. If you like the show, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps people find the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Bizarre Albums, and I'm at Tony Thaxton. You can also like Bizarre Albums on Facebook and visit bizarrealbums.com. And if you still want more Bizarre Albums in your life, sign up for weekly bonus episodes of Bizarre Singles and more at patreon.com/bizarrealbums. And as always, if you know of a Bizarre Album you'd like to hear featured, please tweet the show. I'd love to hear from you. You can even email me at bizarrealbums@gmail.com. My name is Tony Thaxton, and I'll see you next time on Bizarre Albums.